Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." That's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, in our nation. And it's because unrighteousness prevails in most sectors of what we would call civil government today. And those that are supposed to be in charge are disseminating truth to us. I'm talking with one of our 4 sons today, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it, up in the southern tip of Tennessee. It's northern tip. He calls it southern tip of heaven. But Greg, I understand you're going to have some chilly weather there for the weekend.
They call it a wintry mix, but right now it's literally unlimited visibility. I'm looking out over the mountains, and it is truly the most spectacular sight on the face of God's green earth. The leaves have changed over the past couple of weeks, and I see every color you can possibly imagine out there on those beautiful hills.
Can you see red in those leaves?
Dad, you're just jealous because you can't see red. Is that what's going on?
Hey, what our listeners don't understand, just a few weeks ago, I was up there with you and out on the deck looking out over the mountains, and some of the leaves were just beginning to change color. And Randa said, look how they see the red spots through those leaves. I don't see any red. And so I'm wondering if you see any red in those leaves.
Poor fella. By the way, I'm going to take just a little sidestep here. Watching this election last evening and realizing that even in Virginia, with Youngkin being our new governor in Virginia, I'm glad we're getting rid of blackface baby-killing Northam, and we're getting what looks like a conservative, an American-loving, Constitution-loving businessman. I hope that that's what we're getting. But with Youngkin coming in, realized that they held back. I mean, Fairfax was one of the last districts to report, and Fairfax is just overwhelmingly controlled, dominated by Democrats. Understand that this is the game they've been playing ever since 2000. In 2000, you had the South Florida, you know, Miami-Dade and Broward counties holding back and holding back and holding back, and all of a sudden the Democratic-controlled districts they try to hold back and manipulate. I think last evening up until 3 a.m., they were probably looking for a way, well, how many more votes? And they were perhaps having a hard time manufacturing 100,000 or 200,000 extra votes to be able to get McAuliffe in. But the same thing is going on, I believe, today as we speak, as you look at New Jersey. I mean, you're watching Ciarelli up there, whatever you pronounce his name, along with Murphy. And that New Jersey is 57% registered Democrat. And it is a just about dead even split. But guess who the holdout counties are? The holdout districts are heavily Democratic-controlled districts. Why do you think in this age, and we're in 2021, folks, we have more computer technology and automatic systems than we've ever had in the history of the earth? And literally, 100 years ago, election night, you could know who the president was, and you could know who your senator was, and who your representative was, and your, who your governor was, right on down the list. And here we are 100 years later, and they're going, well, you know, we can't do it. And then all of a sudden they have you know, floods at 3 a.m. in the morning, run everybody out, and, you know, and put screens up over the windows and tell everybody they've got to go home, and then they pull out the boxes and start counting again. So I would be, I perhaps I'm the first one. Let's go ahead and have a forensic audit in Virginia today. Let's go ahead and have a forensic audit ordered in New Jersey today. Let's see how much. Let's see how many dead people voted. Let's see how many hundreds of ballots went to a single address like they did in Wisconsin. Let's go ahead and see just how much fraud the Democrats were willing to commit in New Jersey in order to steal that one. They're probably going to steal it. And how much fraud they committed in Virginia to try to steal that.
Greg, what happened in Virginia, the loose lacks lost liberals called the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party had already filed a federal lawsuit claiming that there were 300,000 ballots that were outstanding that had been mailed in on the mail-in ballot, that 300,000, and the United States Post Office was not delivering them on time, and therefore they needed to file that suit so that they could halt all counting until those ballots were determined. Now, the post office immediately countered that and said they're being delivered on time, and that took it out of the circle of it being a postal problem. That set the stage for what they will then later try to do, in my most humble opinion, say, well, here's the ballots that we said were slowed down or missing or that had not been delivered. All of a sudden, they show up in a box someplace where there's been no chain of custody for those ballots. And by the way, for our listeners' understanding, Wisconsin, I believe it is, has already declared they're going to decertify the 2020 election, and Arizona's on the fast track for decertification of the 2020 election. They were in the legislative process of trying to determine whether or not to decertify the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. So I don't know what they're going to be doing now after some of these governors' elections. I'm praying, as you have said, that we will have an election process that could be viewed as being with integrity for America. Greg, hold on a minute. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with the question or comment, please.
How you doing, Dr. Youngblood? Gene?
Good morning. Great. Thank you.
Good morning. Now, you know they're going to find that box in the back of a truck or a car somewhere, right?
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I remember from my youth there, before I went in the military, I got to serve underneath Ronald Reagan. A great communicator, and I've never forgotten what he said. The 8 most horrifying words you could ever hear: "I'm from the government. I'm here to help."
I think that's still true. That's still true today.
People, oh yeah, I think a lot more people should be taking that on as truth.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And gentlemen, when it comes on down to it, there, you'll hear two things on the end. It got to be the watchman on the wall, constantly warning, but you're either going to hear, "I knew you not," or "Well done, faithful servant." I know which one I want to hear.
Amen. I'm looking forward to that "well done, good and faithful servant." Jim, you're exactly right, brother. Keep looking up, our redemption draweth nigh. Greg,
be good, guys.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Greg, what kind of response do you have to Jim's insightful, spot-on statements?
Well, we watched him. You know, I mistakenly said that, you know, Democrats have been doing this kind of stuff since 2000. You can go back to 1960, and the retrospective analysis on the election between Nixon and Kennedy will expose that they have had massive cheating, I believe, in Texas and in Illinois. But Nixon was of the opinion that the United States could not handle such a scandal. How ironic, because you fast forward, what was it, 12, 13 years, and he was in the midst of a scandal. Now, some would say the FBI and CIA created that scandal because, you know, all those folks that went into the Watergate Tower, they were all former FBI and CIA.
Yes.
Today, the culprits, many of them, are in the FBI and CIA. And, you know, check out the news in the past week, folks. You'll find that Andrew McCabe, which was the assistant director of the FBI during all the Russia scandal, Russiagate, the corruption that was Russiagate, built in the FBI, built in the CIA. He was the assistant director. He was fired with cause for criminal activity. He was stripped of his pension. Guess what? This liberal leftist Justice Department just gave him back his back pay and his full pension. Now counter that, just do the comparison between that and what happened with General Flynn. General Flynn was accused of a single act of deceiving and lying to an FBI agent. The FBI agents, too, said that they didn't believe that he was intentionally attempting to deceive them at all. However, they bankrupted the man, destroyed the man, for years intruded on every portion of his life in order to rip him to pieces. Has he gotten back any of the lost wealth in his life? Has he been restored by Justice Department? No. Let's compare McCabe and General Flynn's treatment with Klein Smith's treatment. By the way, Klein Smith was a contemporary of Andrew McCabe. He was an attorney in the FBI when they were trying to get an extension of the FISA warrant to be able to explore a little bit more about the Trump campaign, and they were using the Carter Page conduit to do that. Carter Page had already told him, hey, I'm a CIA asset. And Klein Smith writes over to the CIA and says, hey, is this guy an asset? CIA writes back, yep, Carter Page is an asset. What does Klein Smith do? Now, by the way, I'm giving a narrative in my words. Y'all go back and look at the history of it and see what you think of it. Klein Smith changes the email from CIA that says, hey, he's an asset. He changes it. Well, no, he's not an asset. And uses that modified document to get an extension on the warrant into Carter Page to be able to intrude on the Donald Trump campaign and to paint the Russia, Russia, Russia collusion narrative. Now, Klein Smith committed multiple felonies, apparently, according to U.S. Code. I think it was multiple felonies. Y'all look into that. By modifying a federal document. I believe that was a felony. By sending that document on to the FISA courts for an extension of a warrant, I believe that was a felony. So multiple felonies by an attorney with the FBI. Now, had I been in the FBI as an attorney, they'd have perp walked me out, stripped me of my bar certificate, never practiced law again. I'd probably spend 20 years behind bars. You know, that would be the case with any legitimate treatment of criminality under the color of authority, and that's what we call it, criminality under the color of authority. However, this man continued to work for a while, and when he pled guilty, I think that's what he did, pled guilty, you'll find that he got a year of probation for those criminal acts. Does that sound like it's the way fair justice is meted out? I don't think so. That's not true. That's not fair. That's not right.
That goes back to the lack of truth in America with our governmental system. But, Greg, one of the things you touched on in relationship to the FBI, is it your understanding that the FBI was involved in the attempt to kidnap Governor Whitmer of Michigan, and that they included others in that, but they wanted it to look as though it was Trump followers and or the patriots and conservatives in America, but it was an attempted coup to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Were the FBI agents involved in that?
If you look at that incident, you'll find FBI. Probably CIA, FBI, probably CIA as well. If you look at January 6th, you'll see a whole bunch of FBI, and perhaps if you look hard enough, you'll find some CIA. Now, how long have they been doing this kind of stuff? You know, you remember Randy Weaver and the big, you know, it's a big ordeal because the ATF came and tried to use Randy Weaver as a conduit to get into some organization, and wherever he was at, Idaho or whatever, and they ended up. Luring him into a sawed-off shotgun charge. Two ATF agents lured him in by continuing to up the offer, until they offered him like $500 to cut off the barrels of two shotguns. And he's a mountain man. He's going, you're going to give me $500 to take a hacksaw to a cut? Okay, I'll do it. Well, that was an entrapment. I mean, and everybody knows it's entrapment. But they ended up then giving an arrest warrant and then pursuing him to the point that they killed his wife. I believe they killed his son. They killed his dog. I mean, that ought to get you folks riled. Even on the left, you ought to get riled up. They killed his dog, okay? They ended up, fast forward, they ended up having to write the family a check for like $7 million. Well, we the taxpayer, we paid that.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
The point is the FBI and the CIA are in the middle of one issue after another where it's criminality that they are pointing the finger at conservatives, pointing the finger at Republicans, pointing the finger at whoever misfits are out there. But it's in order to bring down their perceived political adversaries. That's using the accoutrements of government to perform a political act. It's evil. It's wrong. It's anything but truth.
Yes, absolutely. Greg, Let's talk about, and you touched on it a couple of times. I'm looking at an article headline, Tucker Carlson documentary, Feds Incited the January 6th Entrapped Citizen on January the 6th, Dateline November the 2nd. Tucker Carlson's three-part documentary on the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol drew vehement opposition even before it aired, with warnings from Fox host, with warnings to the Fox host that he was about to kill his career. And now viewers are able to see for themselves what all the furor is all about. In the first installment aired Monday, Carlson began by noting that most Americans have assumed the chaos during the formal counting of the Electoral College vote was the result of intelligence failures or incompetency. But that isn't what his investigation has found. The evidence points to incitement. Listen, January the 6th, his evidence, his research, his discovery, his investigation points to the incitement by the federal agents and the intentional entrapment of American citizens, according to his documentary. Further, the article says the documentary opens with claims by leaders, including President Biden and his spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, that the biggest threat America faces is from white supremacists, and they describe as domestic terrorists for the January the 6th riots. Many Democrats have called January the 6th the worst attack on America since 9/11, and Carlson's investigation shows how the government has linked the two, creating domestic war on terror 2.0. The left, he says, is now using January the 6th as a pretext to strip millions of Americans of their constitutional rights and defame them. And I have, it's a five-page article, but I'll cease the reading there. Just one other point. The documentary's first episode, Carlson asks, how much of what we were told about January the 6th is a complete lie? He examines the case of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. And a story repeated over and over by the media, the New York Times repeated Sicknick was killed by Trump supporters who bludgeoned him with a fire extinguisher. That did not happen, the investigation that Carlson is doing says. And the Times quietly retracted their story. Later, the D.C. medical examiner ruled the officer died of natural causes. Nevertheless, the people who were at the Capitol that day continue to be characterized by the media as murderous, as a deadly mob, and as insurrectionists. Greg, is that true? Is it false? What do you know? What have you discovered? What have you researched about the truth of the January 6th so-called insurrection? And a little footnote to that, you know, Nancy Pelosi has put together her group of henchmen for the January the 6th investigation, and the whole point was an investigation built on a lie. Am I speaking the truth? Is an investigation built on a lie? Was the January the 6th riots at the Capitol manufactured by the FBI, the federal government, including Antifa, or was it something that was done by Trump followers?
Keep in mind, they build these narratives in order to paint their political opposition. Sadly, they use resources that we pay for, resources that should be used for legitimate law enforcement. They use those resources to, again, perform a political end. Let me step back and tell a little story here, and you finish it for me. John Anderson was one of those many that were there on January 6th.
Yes, as he said to me, he said, Pastor, I'd never been to the Capitol. I'm a patriot. I love the flag. I love President Trump. I'd never personally been to the Capitol, and I've never personally met a president, and I wanted to be there for that purpose. He got pushed and shoved by about a million people in the crowd, and someone turned around and sprayed mace in the face of several of those participants in that group that were there at the Capitol. He was then shoved into the door of the Capitol, and fortunately two police officers grabbed him after he was maced by another police officer and had his face washed out and his eyes washed out, etc. They ultimately locked him up. He spent time in jail and was released. He had spent quite a few dollars, up into the thousands of dollars, to be defended. And it was all because the federal government refused to release the documentary evidence of actual video footage that would prove and vindicate his innocence. And that was done after his death. He was terrorized in the last several months of his life before he died because of COVID in the hospital, where a ventilator was pushed down his throat, even at his rejection and not wanting that to be done, until the nurses and the doctors convinced him that they had to do that. So that is the little gap there. And finally, the federal government had started releasing some of the video footages, and his was simply a 14-second piece of video footage that validated his innocence. And there, Greg, there, and for our listeners today, there are hundreds and hundreds now of people, citizens, patriots in America, that's been, their family's been terrorized. They've been locked up. Some been locked up without bail or bond now for months and months and months. And yet it's been stated that it was because of Trump followers, because of the Trump people, because of white supremacists that all of this took place. And now most of us, as conservatives, as Christians, have believed that this was a lie to begin with, and that's being uncovered as a major mega lie from the federal government, lying to the people to be able to use that as a cudgel to beat Donald Trump in the head to prevent him from running for office again. What is your take on that? What are your thoughts?
They want to keep their lie, their anything but the truth narrative alive all the way through 2024, especially through 2022. They don't want Trump to be able to have an engagement with the people before 2022. That's also why Twitter and I think Facebook, fascist book, have attempted to keep Trump off social media. And it's also why Trump has spent a lot of money, apparently, to build a new social media network, you know, outlet. But back to John Anderson, here's a focal point that I'd like for folks to see, and then ask yourself this one question. First off, you should not have your life destroyed because of entering the Capitol on January 6th. Now, if you broke a window, or if you tore something down, you messed up a monument, or you stole something, you ought to pay a criminal penalty, whether it's a fine or you should go to jail. But if you happen to find yourself in the Capitol after having been welcomed in, after having the doors open to you, I don't view you as a criminal. Now, if they tell you you need to leave and you don't leave, well, the trespass should be given you. But here's a particular point. We ask about was the FBI in the crowd? Was the FBI participating? Was the FBI rallying the troops to commit criminal acts? Were they? And I believe the simple answer is yes, but we're not getting the answer from Merrick Garland. Why is that? Why? He said, well, there's an ongoing investigation. Continue your investigation. Have fun. If somebody's committed criminal acts, investigate them, prosecute them. But if the FBI has committed criminal acts, I'm sorry, if individual FBI agents have committed criminal acts in order to try to stoke violence, in order to try to stoke an issue, put them in jail.
Absolutely.
So this one issue with John Anderson, just before the doors were opened and John Anderson was pushed through the doors, it is my understanding that someone near the doors, not in uniform, sprayed the crowd with mace. Now, I've got a question for you. If that was a rioter slash protester slash insurrectionist, why would they spray their own people? I just think about that logically for just one moment. Or was that an FBI or CIA agent undercover trying to stoke violence? Just ask. I don't know the answer, folks. I'm just asking a question.
But here's part of the article to answer your question, the statement, Greg. I'm looking at a massive article from Tucker Carlson's investigation about the events of January the 6th. I'm looking down further in the article where a man said he pointed out the specific place where he saw agent provocateurs, that is FBI agent provocateurs, who attacked the Capitol with a military-like precision, goading members of the Trump crowd to cause the trouble. One person to fit the description of a provocateur is John Sullivan. He goes ahead and talks about John Sullivan, how he's acted on behalf of the FBI agents before and carrying out things like that. And in fact, he was part of one of the major rioters with Black Lives Matter in Provo, Utah. And he was seen on video August 20, 2020, rallying D.C., saying, chanting, it's time for revolution, it's time for revolution. Further in this article, it says, independent journalist Taylor Hansen, who was assaulted by Sullivan's group in Utah, said he saw multiple, this is at January the 6th, saw multiple agitators on January the 6th changing their clothing from black block clothing into Trump gear with Trump hats. It goes on to talk about others. Hansen said he saw, witnessed a Capitol bike police officer pushing him out off the wall, and video shows someone on the scene making the same claim. It made the crowd angry enough to actually push up the stairs even further, et cetera, et cetera. It was the provocateurs that were causing the riot, causing the damage, and inviting people in. In fact, if you look at some of the video footage, as very little of it's been released for the public, look at some of the video footage, the Capitol Police actually allowed the buses of agitators, i.e. the Antifa people, to be backed in, and they opened the Capitol doors and motioned for them to back up, and motioned for them to come on in. It was an invitation to come in, and it was not something that the should be called insurrectionist had any responsibility in that. It's time, I believe, Greg, that Americans wake up and know that we've been lied to, and to recognize and realize that we've been lied to about everything about the vaccine, everything about the COVID source and the origin of that. They lied to about Pfizer and what Pfizer was doing. In fact, I'm looking at an article now that says that Pfizer falsified its data in the vaccine trial, according to a whistleblower. The panel's approval Tuesday of the Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11, the British medical journalist published an article featuring a whistleblower that charges that the poor practices at a contract research company helping to carry out Pfizer COVID vaccine trials last fall may have compromised all of its data and the integrity and the patent safety. The whistleblower, Brooke Jackson, was a regional director in Texas who was employed by a research organization that was doing work on contract for Pfizer. After a company ignored her complaints, she emailed the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on the same day she sent the email. She was fired. Jackson told the news article, newspaper, and the researchers, Pfizer falsified all of its data, unblinded patients, employed inadequate training, vaccinators training, trained vaccinators, and was slow to follow up on reports of adverse effects. She went on to say dozens of internal company documents, photos, audio recordings, and emails back up her claim. So, Greg, the point is the broadcast today, would our government really lie to us? If that is the case, and I believe we both agree that it is, what should our listeners think? What should we do? Should we believe God or government? Should we trust the word of God or trust the word of government? What should be the response that the listeners should have today? We've got about 45 seconds. Would you wrap this broadcast up today by challenging our listeners to trust God, trust the Bible, and not government?
Yeah, your New Testament church, your first century church, it was pointed out that they were searching the scriptures daily. Now, we ought to search the scriptures daily. We ought to seek the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He says in John 8, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Folks,
amen. You ought to seek the truth daily. Seek the truth
daily. Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.